That's about the time last night that the proclamation was made. It's Trudy and Jim and the podcast, and it's an exciting multimedia podcast, of course, this morning on WCSX, because it's about the all-new old bands who are going to be enshrined in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and we have an expert there, of course, the Rock and Roll Insider, Gary Graff, who is one of the people pivotal in putting all the classic rockers, including this band, Cheap Trick, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and so we had to talk to him this morning.
How are you?
Hi, Gary, what's going on? You are the biggest show element of the day, because this is the day.
I'm Mr. Big Stuff, what can I say?
Do you feel totally responsible for stocking the 2016 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Myself, yes.
Mm.
It was all me.
You own that.
You know, I tweeted, I texted, I told everybody what they were voting for.
Did you argue like 12 angry men in a closed offer?
One angry man.
So
I did vote for four of the five, though.
Which four?
The classic rockers.
Of course.
I wasn't sold on NWA as a rock act.
Yeah, no, I'm.
Attitude, yeah, attitude, yes, you know, but, you know, not enough rock elements in their sound, you know, not like Run DMC or the Beastie Boys.
Well, Gary, since when has that been a thing? Because they seem to disregard that all the time. Donna Summer wasn't a rock act. And
right, well, they're nominated. I thought of all the classic rock act, you know, on the ballot, I thought they were the slam dunk because...
Yeah.
You know, what we're getting into here with this particular class is the Rock Hall really is starting to fill the holes that the public, that the fans really feel have been in, you know, in the Rock Hall up to this point. You know, these are four of the bands, or four of the acts, that are most frequently mentioned as why the heck aren't they in the Rock Hall. Cheap Trick is cool with the hoi polloi, with the snobs.
Yeah.
As well as with the masses, so I thought they were the slam dunk one on that list myself.
For sure.
That was not a surprise at all. And I also figured Deep Purple was not exactly a slam dunk, but enough of the other inductees had mentioned them, you know, by name during their acceptance speeches and subsequently lobbied for them after they got in, you know, bands like Metallica and some of the others, that I thought Deep Purple would have enough support to get in for sure.
So what are the awkward moments going to be between band members?
This is, you know, there are some good ones here. I mean, Deep Purple has been a personnel train wreck. They are inducting the first three, you know, mocks, the Mach 1, 2, 3 lineup. So you'll have three separate sets of singers and bassists there. And then will Richie Blackmore show up or won't he? Cheap Trick with Bunny Carlos. You know, I talked to Rick Nielsen yesterday, and he didn't say much about it other than to say, if Bunny wants to come, great. He'll play with us. You know, he's not playing with the band anymore. Rick Nielsen's son Dax is the drummer in the band. He said they'll both be there. And then Rick shared an interesting tidbit with me because I just joked, I cracked. I said, well, you can do the Grateful Dead thing and have two drummers. And apparently, when Cheap Trick, the gig that convinced Epic Records to sign Cheap Trick to their first recording contract, they were playing with two drummers.
Really? Wow.
Bunny had broken his arm, like, a couple days before. So they had Bunny up there playing with one arm, and then they had another guy there to help out. So they actually got... So it would be appropriate if you had two drummers playing with Cheap Trick that night. I mean, those guys have settled their differences. I think the acrimony is certainly still there, but I think they'll be able to put it all together. Unlike Kiss, they'll be able to actually play music together that night.
Yeah. Drama, however, is kind of what makes this thing, well, gives
you gotta,
it publicity.
You got to have some.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise it's not going to be a TV show.
Right.
Any ideas? I know we just got the announcement. In your mind, who you would like to see induct these acts?
You know, I haven't really gone that far, Jim, only because it's been so busy getting the stories together and talking to the actual acts. In fact, I kind of kicked myself because I forgot to ask a couple of them, hey, who would you like to see induct you? And they're not thinking about that either. The news is so fresh. You'd have to think of, I don't know, do you get like Kenny G to induct Chicago? That would be kind of wrong, I think.
Yes, that would spoil the entire night.
There will be certain controversies, you know, to go back to that just for a second. For instance, should Chicago have gotten in before Blood, Sweat, and Tears? You know, Blood, Sweat, and Tears was actually out there first as a band with brass, you know, and there were some others, you know, that were not as successful as those guys. I know Deep Purple is a little unhappy that Steve Morse, you know, who's been the guitarist now for 20-odd years, is not going to be inducted with them. I think they felt like he's deserving. Chicago is only getting inducted as its original lineup, so the seven guys. And you have
whoever they are.
And you have the guys who have been in that band now for 25, 30 years as well, that you know, Chicago would like to see inducted. Mm. So, you know, some of that's going to come out, you
and
know,
it's
in,
just,
the, in
and,
the lead up.
Hey, and Gary, and it's just Steve Miller? Just Steve.
Yeah, it is just Steve Miller. And I talked to him yesterday as well. And we talked about that. And he did say that, you know, I mean, he thinks that's the easiest way to do it because the Steve Miller band numbers like 40.
Oh, wow.
At this point, but he is preparing. He actually keeps on his website a pretty detailed list of who has been through the band and what they did. And you know, he acknowledged, you know, everybody's role in being a big part of his career. But you know, and I do suspect when the nominating committee sat around talking about that, you know, they did decide, look, it's Steve Miller's, it's his band, it's his vision, it's his songs. The players were important, but it's him. You know, more than them.
So, anything else about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Because I have a couple other questions before you go. Sorry.
No, I mean, you know, we know it's going to be April 8th, and what'll be interesting is to see what other honorees, you know, come up. Who the early influences, or you know, last year they threw Ringo in at the last minute because they didn't think they had a strong enough TV show. So they wanted to get Ringo in there.
Huh?
So it'll be interesting to see who all. You know, who they add to it. Other thing that's interesting is I'm hearing that, you know, this year it's in Brooklyn. Usually they go, or they've started to go like New York, L.A., Cleveland. I'm hearing L.A. is going to be out of the mix now, and it's going to be every other year, Brooklyn and Cleveland. And then in Cleveland, it's going to move to their big arena. It's going to move out of the Public Hall, which was a nice, charming little venue, and it's going to be a big arena show there as well.
So Dan Gilbert gets his hands on that. Nice.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, he'll have a piece of that.
Right, even bigger shows to come. So I saw that the Red Hot Chili Peppers have an album that they're about ready to release.
Well, they're saying it's finished. They're saying the instrumental portion is just about done, and then Anthony Kiedis has to get in and you know, do the vocal parts.
So who's their guitarist now? Same
guy? Oh, it's still the guy whose name, Josh Klinghoffer.
Yeah,
Klinghoffer.
Uh-huh.
He's been with the band now for probably like 5-6 years.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, he's the guy. Yeah. So he's still the guy. He got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame with them. He'd been on one album.
Oh.
And they let him in.
Nice.
So this
ticket
is where things get crazy with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
David Navarro was so mad. And then Scott Weiland, Rolling Stone, has what they found basically in his little room. In that, you know, that dismal tour bus where he died.
Right, yeah, the police had actually, you know, released that information, you know, as part of their report.
Yeah, and it was...
There were a lot of drugs.
A handful, and, you know, it's like the Heath
surprise,
Ledger.
Right?
Yeah, you know, like Klonopin and Viagra, those two things ordinarily, I don't think, cocaine and... Lunesta.
Cocaine and pot and heroin, right?
Right. Well, yeah, and then a sleep aid and a sex aid and...
And the bipolar medication.
Right,
wow.
Exactly.
No, there was a lot on there. Whether it was in his system or not, we'll have to wait and find out. I mean, we won't get a toxicology report
until
January, even though we all pretty much know what we all expect.
Yeah,
it's gonna say.
Yeah, that was. I mean, that really hit me hard because I thought he was really, he was kind of a sad guy, but he was so talented.
He was. You know, he was a really great rock and roll front man. You know, he really was, and you know, kind of that good iconic figure. I did like what his ex-wife came out on. Now she has a huge chip on her shoulder.
Right.
About him, but I did like her open letter where she did kind of say, "Look, don't glorify this. This will happen again.
Right?
You know, this is a real problem. These rock stars and their drugs.
Yeah.
So it was good for somebody to come out and say that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
In the midst of all the mourning.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a really sad thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, we've tapped you all out. You have something to do, so thanks a lot, Gary, for being on.
Thank
right.
you, buddy.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah.
And you know, Jim, Trudy, may the force be with you.
You too.
Yeah, buddy. See you, man.
Okay. All right. See ya. Bye,
we'll
Gary.
Talk again.
It's a active week in movies. In fact, most of the year has sucked movie-wise, or at least I thought so.
No,
and
you're right.
All of a sudden, they're trying to pull us in, the force, the tractor beam, or whatever it is that they feel like they have on us to the theaters. There are a lot of things coming out. At least if I feel the hype going on right now because there's a lot of Mark Wahlberg around. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler are making the rounds.
Sisters looks awesome.
And, of course, we had Henry Rollins, who was astounding. He was so good. And all of that, of course, fighting with the Force. The Force Awakens tonight, actually.
7 o'clock tonight, and then all the way through. So people are already putting up ticket stubs. They're showing like they got their tickets. They've already bought them on, went and picked them up today, too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But now we've got Julie to sort of check in on all of the movies, including... We have a couple. Well, Jennifer Lawrence was another one of the people grandstanding and peacocking all week long, in her own unique way because she's the the girl. She invents a product, and so she's talking about that, and it's called Joy, that movie.
Yeah.
And then there's also The Big Short coming out too. Do we have Julie?
I think Ryan's trying to get Julie right now. Joy to me looks like a video. You always look. I don't know how you are. We sit there and watch trailers, and you go video. I'll watch it at home. I don't need to go to a theater to see that movie. The Big Short looks awesome. But in Concussion, video. The Will Smith one, I mean,
really?
Yeah, it's an important story.
Will would be so disappointed.
Yeah,
because he needs definitely wants this to be extremely serious. He went to extra measures to act this one real well.
I still don't know how they're getting away with some of the trailers even, because they're showing like the Pittsburgh football stadium and stuff, and you're just looking at it like, what the hell? So there she is.
All right.
Howdy, Julie.
Julie.
Hi, guys.
Julie's the dog catcher this morning, I guess, huh?
What are you, chasing dogs?
This is so weird. I go take walks over by this at this lake by my house.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was leaving, and there was this gargantuan pit bull running down the street, this giant white dog. And I pulled over and whistled for him, and he came just charging to my car. I'm scared to death of pit bulls.
You should be.
I know. I was terrified. But he was like wagging his tail and whining. He was like, mm-hmm. Like the sweetest thing in the world. He hopped in my car like we were old friends.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
When we couldn't get a hold of you, I thought possibly you'd been eaten by him. But that's good to know that you're okay.
I'm totally fine. Yeah, he's microchipped and everything. I took him to a little pet orphanage. And so it's a happy ending for everybody.
Yay.
How many guys did you pick up that way when you were younger, Julie?
Oh, my gosh, like, 20. It works, believe me.
Come on, get in the car.
Right.
You good boy. Yes, you are.
Julie.
You got a sweet face.
It's such a crazy movie week. You must be, besides picking up pit bulls and whatever else, you just must be beside yourself. Your mind just must be jammed.
I am. It's kind of funny because I did all of my other big movies, everything that wasn't Star Wars, I watched and tried to write about last week. So I got a lot of the big stuff like The Revenant and The Big Short and Joy and everything, all of that out of the way last week, just so I could focus on Star Wars. But it's funny, like, I've only been a film critic for about 6 years now. But I was thinking, this is probably the biggest, most important movie that I have covered since I started this. And so, because I'm loving it. I'm having so much fun reviewing and talking about this movie and reliving it. Like, this is really, I think we're all kind of in the same boat where it was the original Star Wars back in the 70s and 80s. Those movies, they're really personal to us. So going back and enjoying all of this, it's just been a real treat for me. I'm loving it.
So you're allowed to talk about it? Because, everybody's sworn to secrecy, so I can't understand what's going to be talked about or, how to review this besides saying it's great.
Well, I can tell you a few things. I'm not going to tell you the story. I'm not going to give it away any spoilers because nobody really wants to know that. The main thing I can tell you is that it truly exceeded my expectations. I think we all got, a little let down by all the Phantom Menace crap and all of that. And this is almost like you're just picking up from the original trilogy with Luke and Leia. And that's what's so cool. Because that's another thing. I was like, there's no way we're going to like these new characters. You keep seeing like BB-8 and Finn and Rey, these new characters. It's like, whatever. No, you end up loving these people just as much as you did Luke and Leia and Han. I mean, like, man, that Ray, Daisy Ridley, the girl who plays Ray, she is incredible. And they're all just like, oh, dude, I'm like getting chills. It's so much fun. And here's another really cool thing that J.J. Abrams did. I kept thinking, like, well, how are they going to, like, gel these two worlds together? You know, the world of Star Wars from 1977 and 2015. How does this work? But they managed to, like, it actually almost looks like some of the same set. You know, it's like, it's not, you know, that's not the Death Star, but they definitely use the same architects. But it's so neat because they took this, you know, landscape that we're already pretty familiar with, but then they updated it and made it modern, but it's seamless. Like, you don't even catch that. You're just like, oh, this looks so good. And it truly does. Oh, my gosh, the big, like, battle sequences are phenomenal. It's Adam Driver. Okay, Adam Driver as Kylo Ren.
You got the hots for him, don't you? Yeah, he's pretty damn cool.
He is, oh, my God, I want to just eat that boy. Oh, fuck it. He is so, and he's great because he's bad and good and vulnerable and totally evil, and which I think he's probably like that in real life, which makes me really, you know, kind of hot for him even more. But everyone involved with this project had the utmost respect in it and just knew what they were dealing with, and you could tell everybody's giving their all. Okay, here's another thing I was nervous about. Like, okay, Harrison Ford is Han Solo today. Like, is that going to look goofy or weird? And that's sound like a jerk, but, you know, he's kind of an old dude now. But it's like, it's not Harrison Ford playing Han Solo. It's Han Solo. You know? I mean, it's him. It's him. And, there's this really cool little relationship between he and Chewbacca because they've been together for so long. They're kind of like a crotchety old married couple. But they also, there's this, you know, they're old now, so they have to take care of each other. And they do this where they sneak in little updates to these characters that you love that you wouldn't even think about, you know? I mean, Leia, she's not really a princess anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you what she is,
right.
But it's incredibly cool. So, the main thing to take away from this is that it's okay to get excited about Star Wars The Force Awakens. I think everyone's been kind of cautiously optimistic. I'm not going to get too excited just in case it sucks. Guess what? It doesn't suck. It's awesome. It exceeds expectations. I gave it an A freaking plus. It's my number one movie of 2015. It's okay to go ahead and get excited about it. Buy your tickets. Buy them in advance so you can, like, pick your seats. You know, that's something we didn't have the opportunity to do that in 1977. Get your seats. Just go and see it. If you were an original Star Wars fan, you're going to be super pumped about this. It's okay to get excited.
J.J. Abrams is someone who appears to have the knack of taking something and uncomplicating it and giving it enough, you know, like infusing it with enough of our memory to give us that sort of nostalgia at the same time as making it cool, new, and his editing to date.
Wait a
has
minute.
Always...
Slow down. I'm going to write this down. I like everything you're saying. I'm going to use that. I'm going to pretend like I wrote that because you're absolutely right. That's what,
right.
And it does. It comes from this deep-seated love and respect that he has for the series.
Right.
And you're right, but that's great. Uncomplicating it. That's part of what's so great. But he also gives it this unexpected heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love that everyone's like, don't give away any spoilers. And it's true because there are spoilers to give away. There are twists that are unexpected. Mm-hmm. There are things that you will not see coming that show up. And I love that he did that. He took a story that was already rich with these bizarre twists and turned, gave even more, brought more into it to where these, you know, there are things that happen in this movie that will continue to live on in the Star Wars universe as we know it. We will quote lines from this like, Luke, I am your father. You know, maybe not that intense, but there are moments that will live with us in that same way. Are you going to go see it? Have you gotten your tickets yet?
Jim has seen it. I have not.
I saw it Tuesday, Julie.
Yeah, I'm going to probably.
What do you think? Oh, my God. What do you think?
I was telling somebody that the best thing, if you hadn't seen any Star Wars movies, on its own, it's an amazing movie. But because it's part of the Star Wars lineage, the line, it makes it, it is comparable to Empire Strikes Back, which to me is the greatest one that they did. So,
right.
You sat there. The funniest line to me was, I could say it, Lee Thomas from Fox 2 is our local movie guy. We're walking out, and the movie people said, so what did you think? And he looked at me and goes, holy shit. And just like you walk out of there going, I don't think people, this is going to be one of these things for 2 months from now. People are going to still be in line to see this movie for the eighth time. I mean, you were just, I'm like with you. I was just jacked afterwards. It's an amazing movie. It's an amazing movie.
It really is. And it's funny. I saw it with a bunch of film critics, probably the same way that you saw it. Everybody's like too cool for the room, you know?
Right.
5 minutes, everybody's crying. People are cheering. I mean, we were like a bunch of little kids in there. Everyone was so excited. And yeah, it's so, and I agree that this is definitely one to repeat. You know, I saw it in just like a regular 2D, but I got tickets for my whole family. My husband and both my kids were going to go see it on Christmas Day. And this time we're going to see it in IMAX 3D, damn it. Wait. And I think that's it. It's like, it is a real, it's an immersion experience. And it's so, I mean, okay, not to get like way too emotional here, but it's been kind of a crappy time. It's just, you know, everybody's freaked out about terrorism. We're fighting politics all the time. It's so nice to have something that is universally good, that makes us all feel good. And, I mean, I guess there are some people that are out there like, I don't care. It's like, who are you? I don't get you. But for the rest of us, there's this, you know, it's just a wonderful unifying thing that we can all be excited about. It's not disappointing. How often does that happen? It's like never.
Never.
Right. We get this opportunity to all be excited and to be genuinely satisfied by something. So, yeah, I'm glad you liked it, too. I haven't talked to anyone who's had a single negative thing to say about it.
No. No, it's just, it's a perfect movie.
It's a perfect movie. Yeah. Amen. Woo-hoo!
Okay. Well, should we talk about anything else, then?
I don't know. I want to. I can give you a quick rundown. Sisters is out this weekend. You know, I didn't get to see that one. That was the night of my husband's company Christmas party. I've heard that it's good if you're a Tina Fey, Amy Poehler fan.
Right.
You know, it's pretty much what you expect it to be. Lowbrow humor. It's just a vehicle for these chicks. If you like them, you're going to love it. You know, keep your expectations kind of low. The story's pretty thin. But I think people are giving it between a B and a C. Let's see. Next week, we got a couple of biggies. You know, Joy is coming out. Have we talked about Joy yet, the new David O. Russell movie with Jennifer Lawrence?
I've seen her all over the place because I think she does. She is the funniest person on talk shows of any actor or actress. So I've seen all of that. So I kind of know she's a person who invents a product, a mop or something, a household product, and she becomes filthy rich.
Yes, and it's based on this true woman who invented the Miracle Mop. So that's the character that Jennifer Lawrence plays. I will say, you know, we've fallen in love with David O. Russell through his films over the years. We had The Fighter and then Silver Lining Playbook and then American Hustle 2 years ago, which was, like, not quite as good as the other two. If you were laying these, like, in order of how good they are, Joy would be at the bottom of the list. I ended up giving it a C. I thought it was really disappointing. Jennifer Lawrence is great. All the actors are doing the best they can. It's just they're just trying to cram too much into the story, so she never really gets to develop the character. And you kind of hate all of them by the time the movie's over.
Oh, no.
It's just, it's that one is pretty seriously disappointing. There's also, let's see, The Big Short.
Can't wait for this one. Please tell me it's good. Is it good?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Awesome.
It is phenomenal. It really is. Everybody does a great job. And it's funny because this one, it's about the crash of the housing market. Like, I'm so stupid. I have a hard time even describing what this movie is about. But it's not sexy. I mean, they're like, the crash of the housing market. How do you make a movie out of that?
Right.
But it's Adam McKay, super funny, and he's taken this really dry subject matter and turned it into something that's pretty exciting. And the cool thing is like, when they'll try to explain some of these loans or some of the deals that were being made before the crash in 2007, and the characters, like Ryan Gosling, will turn and look at the camera and he'll say, this is making you feel pretty stupid, isn't it? Well, let's dumb it down and put it in simple terms.
Huh.
And then they'll go to a shot of, like, Selena Gomez playing, you know, gambling in Vegas, and they'll explain this loan or whatever is happening in simple layman terms.
Oh, cool.
So for someone like me, I'm like, that is fantastic.
Right.
So it's really a very eye-opening movie. It's so bright. Everyone does a great job with it. I think I gave that one an A as well. So yeah, definitely see that one. That's one. I think it already got nominated for a Golden Globe. It'll definitely be turning up in the Oscars. Let's see, there's Concussion. Have we talked about Concussion, the Will Smith story?
I don't remember. See what I did there? Yeah, never mind.
y'all just shut me up whenever you need me to stop talking. Because I've watched so many movies lately. I could talk 20 straight minutes about movies.
I've only seen the trailer. I want to say this. I don't like Will Smith being serious. It bums me out.
Right.
And, well, you know, he's definitely not Men in Black guy in this
right.
one. But it's a really interesting story. I encourage everybody to go and find the Frontline special that aired on PBS called, League of Denial.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about this doctor who discovered CTE, this new brain disorder that was turning up in deceased NFL players. And that it seemed to be something that was coming from, repeated headbutts. And so it's a true story, then how the NFL tried to discredit him and they tried to shut him up and everything. So it's a truly incredible story. The problem, the thing that went wrong with Concussion is that the movie company, the director, and Will Smith's representatives, they all got together and they were trying to find a way to tell the story without upsetting the NFL. And they were trying to reach out to the NFL to see if maybe they wanted to take part in some of the writing.
Oh, right.
Right. Just to make sure everybody was, we're going to tell a whistleblower story, but we don't want to piss off the NFL in the process. Mm. And the reason we know this is because hackers, this came from the whole Sony hacking breach.
Yep.
Where all these emails came out. So you can actually, there are these emails. And so, of course, the director and the movie company are saying, this is totally misleading. We didn't change anything about the story. So having seen the movie and having watched the story, originally reported on Frontline, they do tell the same story. But since they don't want to totally dig their claws into the NFL, there's not much of an ending. At the end, they just kind of shrug their shoulders. They're like, yeah, it's terrible. People are dying. Well, okay, end of the movie.
Oh, boy. And then you go home for Christmas Day.
Right. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Yay. Merry Christmas. People are dying. But,
Is there football on?
It's a good story. Will Smith actually does some of the best acting that he's done in years in this one. I still gave Concussion an F. Mm-hmm. And I just don't feel you can't play both sides whenever you're doing a whistleblower story. And I feel like the NFL should be called out on that. Saying that down in Texas, good grief, I'm going to get strung up. But, that one really disappointed me. And then the last movie, and this one's not actually coming out until early January. So just in case I don't get to talk to you guys again, The Revenant, that's the one with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Where he gets raped by a bear?
Freaking awesome.
Really?
It is so phenomenal. And this is Alejandro Iñárritu, the same guy who did Birdman last year. And I didn't like Birdman that much. I was all like Team Boyhood. I never understood why everybody loved Birdman so much. But this is an incredible story. It's one of those where you're like puckered bunghole the whole time. You're like, through the whole movie. People are dying. Bears are attacking. I was just crawling around on my seat, screaming out loud. I mean, this is not an easy movie to watch. But it was actually my number one movie of 2015 until I saw Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Oh, that changed everything. But yeah, so keep The Revenant on your list as well. You're going to look at it and be like, I don't want to watch that. But you really do. I promise you do. It's a great movie.
It's worth getting to that just to hear you say puckered bunghole.
Yep.
On Thursday.
Which I believe will be on the billboard, too, as one of their ads.
We have to vacate the studio. So JulieSaysSo.com. You can go and see more about the movies or Julie H. Fisk on Twitter. Thanks, Julie. And thanks, everybody.
Thanks,
see
guys. Hey, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.